This is Phil Rowe on Cambridge 105 Radio.
We'll move on right now because John Hammond is here, one of our occasional series. It's lovely, delighted in fact, to have him back on the programme. He is here from the East Anglian Ambulance NHS Trust. Yes, I got it right without even having to look at my screen this time. He often has to correct me on it because I just want to call you East Anglian Ambulance Service there, John.
Nice, yes, to see you. We are the East of England Ambulance Service.
East of England Ambulance Service.
Having gone through many sort of incarnations over the years. And,
indeed.
Yes, we're here now, been this East of England for about 11 years now, 2006.
Well, I heard the first explosion, pop, bang, and I realised that it was a banger, a fireworks somewhere. Sometimes some of the shops, including an ironmonger here in Cambridge, sell these fireworks now pretty much 365 days of a year. Garden centres often join in. Means people are stocking up and arming themselves and stacking their bonfires, checking, of course, there aren't any hedgehogs and other wildlife underneath. If you want to burn off those leaves for later this year, November the 5th. Now, that falls, I believe, on a Sunday. But does it mean all leave is cancelled over that period, John?
Not so much leave is cancelled. It's going to be a busy time for us. It always is. It seems to get longer and longer each year. As you say, the places sell more and more fireworks all year round. I've heard them going off already. I've heard bonfire parties already. So,
bonfire parties already?
Yeah. Well, it's what it sounded like.
It's only because I want the hot dogs and burgers out. That's what it is.
And yeah,
excuse for the beer on the mild
evenings. Barbecue, yeah.
Something like that. But it does mean that you're very busy. Now, we call listeners responsible. Of course they are. A lot of us go to organised events, very well looked after, stewarded. There are a lot of safety ropes a long way back from events, but things can happen. Fireworks can go out of control. The quality control of these devices is much better than it used to be. Your bonfire may suddenly find a damp bit and then a twig explodes. The next thing you know, it's in a child's eye. We'll start with that subject. We'll go on to burns of the skin, but, you know, we've got stereoscopic vision. We only have those two eyes. They have to go with us all our lives. They are an amazing organ in our body, our eyes. They have to last for probably, you know, 40 years or more now on average. We have to be careful. You could wear safety glasses, I suppose, especially if you're handling sparklers, but we could get an injury to our eye. What's the first thing to... Let's say one of our children suddenly is screaming, they're clutching their eye, John. What do we do?
The first thing is to try, and this is really hard, is to try and get them to not rub it. And that's really hard because, you know, your instant reaction if you get something in your eye is to rub it and try and get it out. So we need to try and stop them doing that, get them sat down and calm, see if we can see anything in the eye, and then start flushing it with copious quantities of water, see if we can, because a lot of the time it'll just be some debris that's just sitting on the surface of the eye. And it's not adhering to it. It can just be washed straight off. The washing as well with cool water will sort of cool it, make it, soothe it. That's the first thing we need to do.
Irritants then, often are ash, aren't they? There's potash. There's probably some sulfur in fireworks as well. And it's more actually that it's perhaps gone out, but the residue of the ash could be the irritant.
Yeah, we find, and I'm involved with St. John Ambulance as well, so we attend a lot of these events in a first aid capacity. We find that the injuries are caused because naturally, you know, the inherent fireworks, you're looking up, you're looking at the sky, you're looking at them, and it can be a wind change, and although the firework has done its thing and gone out, there's still ash, particles, soot, stick from the rocket, some coming down, you know, you're looking up, and it's very easy to get debris in the eye.
Eyelashes, you know, In biology, many mammals have eyelashes, cats, the cat family, the dog family, Homo sapien, of course. They are very effective, though, at normally trying to keep these things out. You often find in the summer, you're on your bicycle and you're doing, say, 20 miles an hour, and then suddenly you're pelted at by a bumblebee or a wasp.
Yeah.
Your eyelashes are very good at actually deflecting material from getting in your eyes, but this can happen.
This can happen, and it's deceiving because fireworks are set off when it's dark and you can see them. So your eyes are wide open.
And you don't get that blink response necessarily.
You don't get the blink response because you can't see it coming. You know, the fireworks gone out, so you think, well, that's gone. but there is still the burnt debris, some of the unburnt debris. It can be hot, so you've got the added complication of it can burn the surface of the eye slightly. But yeah, flush it with plenty of water, and then get into some good light, see if you can see anything in it. Do not try and remove anything. Do not attempt to remove anything from the surface of the eye with something else other than just trying to flush it with water.
So irrigation to the eye, irrigation and more irrigation.
And more irrigation. And if there is something on the surface of the eye, up to the hospital, get it looked at.
In some industrial applications where there's a first aid room in a factory, for instance, there's sometimes a saline solution available. It will be sealed, so you break the cap and it has a lot and it has an expiry date. Why is sometimes a saline solution a better way of irrigating the
eye? It's just, it's not so much the saline solution, it's just, it keeps it sterile in work environments and it has it to hand. At home, normal chlorinated water is, fluoride added water is absolutely fine. You know, we have very good tap water in this country, thank goodness, and it's more than clean enough for doing that sort of thing.
Or if you've got a bottle of water with you that evening,
bottle water, yeah, that's more than adequate. If you're at an organised event, seek out the St John Ambulance or whoever's providing the first aid cover. Go and see them. They'll have the necessary equipment.
Something to do with that flushing out.
Yeah, we've ordered box loads of the stuff. And we'll go through. It'll be our mainstays, eye injuries.
It's a seasonal order, isn't it? Just to get eye flush or eye solutions. Yep. Used to years ago, and mine was a blue one in the family at home. In the bathroom, we'd have the first aid kit and a little kind of blue cup, which was considered an eye bath. And I often remember as a child, it never seemed to happen to me as an adult, but sometimes an eyelash would get into my eye as an irritant and inevitably, as a child, for some reason, it would go around the back of your eye and it would feel like you got a speck of sand, a really nasty cutting speck of sand. But it actually was an eyelash because your mum would sort of almost tear your eyeball out of your socket to see what it was that was hidden around the back there. Are eye baths recommended these days? I don't seem to see them anymore.
I don't see them. I know exactly what you mean. I had the same thing in our cabinet at home when I was a kid. No, I think they've gone and it's just flushing it with constant new irrigation and flush it away from the other eye.
And as you know, as a paramedic...
So that you're not flushing anything from the eye that's injured
across
and flushing
the other
it into
one.
The other eye. So, yeah.
So get the person, could be a child, get the person to sort of... Well, lean their head.
Head to one side and just flush it out so it runs down the cheek.
I wouldn't say worse still because in equal, effect, I suppose, is if you've got a burn to the skin. I remember doing it once with a sparkler as a kid. Nowadays, they make you wear gloves and have eye protections on. But I remember a sparkler gets immensely hot, especially on the metal stem. And I was too near the end of the sparkler just as it was fizzling out. And I remember getting a terrible blister from that.
Yeah.
So really, we're moving out to burns to the skin.
Burns to the skin. Thankfully, they are not common from fireworks, but sparklers. It's sparklers, sparklers, sparklers. I would hate to say that I don't like them, but I don't.
Because you've had to deal with the effects.
Yeah, and you go to big organised events, and a lot of them now don't sell sparklers at organised events. You get these glow goods and light-up wands and that sort of thing. But yeah, just be very careful if you use them, very careful how you handle them, and even more careful once they've gone out.
I'd love to know the temperature. Somebody's going to probably write in and now say what the sort of centre temperature of a sparkler is, because it's iron filings, isn't it, that are burning off, that giving the bright white glitter in a compound, and it's when the iron ignites that you get the sparkling effect from the rest of the compound that actually burns, and that's how it works. It does seem to go up to white heat, whether it really does,
700 degrees, I would think.
I would have thought so, not being
and
too
that's
much.
That's going to burn, that's going to hurt. So if you do get burnt by sparklers or anything, again, it's cool it. Irrigate it with clean water or anything, any cold water that you've got, any cold fluid, and wash it for a good 10 to 20 minutes until the pain stops.
And try and keep that finger maybe immersed. So if there is in this case, maybe a water in a receptacle, a bath, maybe leave that finger in the water?
Yeah, if that's what you've got, then that's what you've got. Don't use ice packs or anything like that, because you will just, before you know where you are, you'll accidentally burn it again with an ice burn. That does happen. It's unfortunate. But, yeah, so good clean water, wash it, flush it, and then once it's cooled, then you can assess the level of the burn. We have many different ways of sort of grading burns. We use, you know, sometimes you'll hear them as first, second, and third degree burns. Sometimes you'll hear it called superficial, partial thickness, and full thickness. The same thing, basically. Can be painful, and if it's of a reasonable size, get it checked out.
Second degree burns, I suppose. So when would you say, John, first degree burns you try to deal with there and then on site, maybe? I think the other thing I need to ask you, because in the old days there was a product, well, naming names, Savlon was a commercial product, which is obviously a lotion. Now, I've heard all sorts of things about, don't put oils, say, for instance, on sunburn.
Yeah.
Should we keep lotions and oils off?
I think probably the easiest thing is to keep lotions off, other than flushing it with cold water. There are specialist dressings around that we do have, burn gel dressings, that sort of thing. They are commercially available. They are very good at keeping cool, and they're water-based, the gels in them, so that when you do eventually go to hospital or get further treatment, it removes very easily so they can see it, and the gel or the stuff it's impregnated with washes straight off.
And it also contains a little antiseptic, presumably.
Without looking it up, I wouldn't like to say exactly what it contains. I think there might even be some sort of tea tree oil and that type of thing in there, but I'm not certain.
Yes. Well, there's an idea for you, John. You can always patent
that. Yeah, the other thing you can do, if the burn is quite a large area, is once you've cooled it, cover it with cling film.
Oh, really?
Don't wrap it. Take normal household cling film. That's what we've got in the ambulances. If you see the packaging it comes in, it says catering cling film. Take a couple of rolls off of it, turns off of the roll, and just cover it once. Don't wrap it round and round. Just go over it once. That stops the air getting to it.
Right.
And I've always sort of like, the analogy is the wind blowing on a burn can really make it hurt. And it helps with the pain. It's as akin to getting a lighted ember or a lighted cigarette and blowing on the end, and you see how that glows red. That's what the nerves are doing, the nerve endings. They're really agitated. So just cover it with cling film. That will help with the pain.
See, with my logic, and my layperson's logic, I would go with trying to get as much air into the wound as possible. So this is quite interesting to learn that you actually feel that you should hermetically seal the wound.
Yeah, just keeps, you know, debris out, you know, because if the burn has become severe, you know, a partial thickness or a full thickness burn, that is now open to infection. And you're also going to start getting some sort of, you can get some fluid loss out of it.
Let's say the worst case is that a firework has gone out of control, a rocket, it's landed in the crowd. Not only that, John, but worst case scenario, I know it's not like the prophecy of doom here, but it has happened. The rocket is still combusting, but it's gone between clothing and is now down around, say, the chest area and is burning there. Now, that's a fairly severe situation. Should you get the person on the ground, roll them around? Obviously, the first thing is we've got to get this thing extinguished.
Yeah, if it's caught the clothing alight, then yes, you've got to put the clothing out. I think, you know, although it seems like fireworks burn for a long time, they're eventually going to burn themselves out. So, yeah, if they're on fire, but, you know, keep yourself safe as well. Get them out, put the fire out, and, again, start cooling it as well. If you can remove any clothing that is not adhered to the body, then do so. But if it's starting to stick to the body, modern fabrics melt, polyester fibres and that sort of thing, don't start trying to pull it off. You will take the skin off with it.
Right, so maybe cut away some of the clothing, but not in that particular area where the victim,
yep,
shall we call the casualty, is probably the correct word, is saying that they're feeling the intense pain.
But keep yourself safe and call us straight out.
Special burns units. Would you, presumably, the first thing you do is take the casualty to A&E in the ambulance?
Yep.
But in the Eastern region, do we have any special burns units?
We do have special burns units, and that tends to be something, you know, people would be transferred to after the immediate stabilisation. I mean, we have got a special burns unit at Chelmsford in Essex at Broomfield Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much Addenbrooke's does everything else. It's the one-stop shop in the east of England. But off the top of my head, because we don't get involved with that too much, other than if we were transferring people from hospital to hospital. So, there are special burns units out there, but if you've got a problem, go straight to A&E or call us on the ambulance. Or if you're at an organised event, go and seek the first aiders.
Maybe go to an organised event, but we don't want to be bar humbug. If you enjoy your fireworks, just stay safe, keep your distance. Just watch out for sparks, embers, a firework that's going awry. I know you can't always dodge these things. Maybe wear safety specs and gloves, but I don't know, in this age of health and safety, you know, next thing we'll be wearing space suits just to watch, or some kind of asbestos suit, flame-proof suit, just to watch fireworks, which, I don't know, loses the fun.
Yeah, if you are having your own sort of display at home, think about where you're standing. Mm-hmm. Stand upwind mm-hmm. from it all. It's a little bit more difficult if you go to an organised display. There's not always 360 access, so you may get there and it's a on crowd wind, which is always a worry. But just think about where you're standing. Same for the bonfire as well. Think about where you're standing. You know, we have them in the dark. You can't always see which way the smoke's blowing. Just be sensible. Don't stand in it.
And just enjoy your firework event wherever you may be going.
Very much so.
The City one is on November the 5th this year on Midsummer Common, organised by Cambridge City Council. Just advance a notice of that one. And thank you very much, John, for coming in.
Thank you.
And talking about something very seasonal. Yep. Next time we see you, we'll do slips.
Yeah, we'll look at some more winter-type stuff.
Consider that it might actually get icy, although the way the climate's changing, who knows. But John Hammond, thank you very much for coming in today to tell us about burns, and hopefully we'll stay safe out there and won't be needing your services. Have a good November the 5th yourself, John.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.